We get things underway by welcoming back, like we do every Thursday to kick things off, Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports to talk a little FCS football. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, sir?
I am doing great. Getting down to the nitty-gritty here, starting to separate the wheat from the chaff a little bit, but still confusing in some regions.
Yeah, there's a lot of chaff.
It sure is.
That's a crazy thing. It is great to get to November, especially when you have these leagues that have so much parity. There really aren't a whole lot of answers, you know, and then we get into this last 4 weeks and we learn so much, you know. So, I mean, that's what I'm excited about. Is I think even though we don't have the results yet, you can start to see when you look at teams' remaining schedules, you know, who has the tougher path. Who might have already kind of passed, you know, the tough parts of their schedule, and they're, you know, 4-1 in the league, and it looks a little easier down the line. So you can start to project a little more of what you think might happen with the playoff picture.
Let's take a look first as we check out a couple of games from last week, and it was arguably the game of the year in FCS football, and for the most part, North Dakota State, South Dakota State lived up to its billing.
It did, and it did with, as we've been saying all week, South Dakota State had a hand tied behind its back. You know, I mean, they lost their stud quarterback early, and they played with their second and third string guys. Their second stringer had a little bit better, you know, had a little bit better wheels, I guess you could say, and the third stringer had a little more potential to throw, but really never got on track with that. So they were having to play one-dimensional offensively, and South Dakota State was still in that game till the very end, basically. So the fourth down play blew up in their face, and NDSU scored. Now, other than that, it was a tie ball game. So it did live up to the billing. And the other great thing, obviously, that happened with that is such a great fan showing in the ESPN College Game Day setup. I mean, there were R. Sam Herder was there, and he, you know, the reports we were getting is 5,000-7,000 people were out on campus for that. And amazingly, it wasn't half North Dakota State fans. It was actually a lot of blue. So it was just a great game, and lived up to its billing even with the injury, and it was a great atmosphere.
And they weren't the only two teams from the Dakotas playing a big game. How about North Dakota taking care of Montana State?
Yeah, North Dakota is one of our best Jekyll and Hyde examples in the FCS this year. They have had some results that have been really impressive. And, you know, they're kind of in a transition right now. You know, they're transitioning out of the Big Sky, and they're going to be in the Missouri Valley again, once again, actually, pretty soon here. Right now they're actually an independent, but their schedule is full of Big Sky teams, and they may have really put a chink in Montana State's armor. I mean, Montana State at this point is really going to have to play almost error-free ball the rest of the way to make sure, you know, that they're a playoff team. And, North Dakota, they're 5-3 and humming along, and they have a couple head-scratching losses and a couple head-scratching wins. So, that's the Jekyll and Hyde description, I guess you could say.
Maybe the most exciting game of last week was in the CAA. Villanova looking like they had put this one away. Stony Brook got within two, missed the two-point conversion, and then came roaring back and won on a late field goal. What a game.
Yeah. And how about Stony Brook in general? You know, I mean, they've done some interesting things this year. You know, they took JMU to overtime, nearly knocked off, you know, a top two team, and then Villanova has been a team we've been calling a seed for a month, and they got it done with that. But then at the same time, they lost to New Hampshire at home. So, you know, that's been a little bit interesting. But Stony Brook looks pretty darn good. I don't think this is the end of Villanova at all. And, you know, we were talking a second about how you can look and begin to project. And even with the injury at running back, they've kind of figured out what they want to do in the run game, I think, with the freshman. And their list of games to finish the year looks very doable, and they're already at 6 wins. You know, even with this loss to Stony Brook, I think Villanova looks pretty darn good down the stretch, and they hey, they may finish, they could finish 10-2, and I think at worst 9-3. So pretty good team overall, but a good win by Stony Brook.
Well, Villanova may have a test coming up this week as they're on the road against a New Hampshire team that really needs a victory.
Yeah, and that's probably the one that you can look at. You know, nobody knows more than, your listeners about how tough New Hampshire can be, especially when they play at home. That's probably the toughest test Villanova has the rest of the year because they close out the year with Richmond, at home. They've got a Long Island University team that's just starting in the FCS at home, and then they have Delaware, which Delaware's still rebuilding, So I think if they beat New Hampshire this weekend, which they're certainly capable of doing, we might be looking at a 10-2 Villanova team with a mid seed, like a 5-seed, 6-seed, 7-seed, somewhere in there. So, it's a pretty big one for Villanova this weekend.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports here on Downtown. A big top 10 matchup this week as well as Illinois State plays host to Northern Iowa. What do you think about that one?
He has a lot of comparable results with these two teams. They both were hammered by North Dakota State, but hey, welcome to the club, right? they both have had, don't forget, UNI, Northern Iowa took Iowa State to overtime. They could have beaten a P5, they both have had, impressive results. I think you're looking, when you go into the, making the Missouri Valley into a tier situation, NDSU and SDSU are definitely the top two. But I think these make up your next tier in a very good conference. And this game may ultimately settle if there's a potential for maybe a 7 or 8 seed for a third Missouri Valley team. This might be the game that determines it ultimately. So it's a big one and a true coin flip, I think.
And a big game in the Big Sky, maybe the monster game of the week nationwide, Weber State and Sacramento State going head-to-head.
Yeah, this one will tell us a ton. I mean, and it's not like these two programs haven't already told us a ton. When you think about it, it's in California, and Sacramento State on paper looks a little stronger. I think Weber State is really having a tough time throwing the ball. And I don't think that'll hurt them against too many opponents because they're so good on defense, so good on special teams, and so good in the run game. But when Weber State goes against an elite team in the FCS like Sacramento State, the fact they can't throw well is going to hurt them. And I think that's probably what we're going to see this weekend because Sacramento State, they don't really have a statistical weakness. The biggest thing about this game this weekend, aside, of course, the winner will probably win the Big Sky, is, I really think the fact that neither of these teams has lost to an FBS team, I think that's a kind of a stigma when it comes to the playoff committee here in a couple weeks. I really think that the winner of this game will go undefeated against the FCS. To me, that's a top 4 seed situation. It'll be a good one.
Well, whatever happens in this game, if Troy Taylor isn't National Coach of the Year, the Eddie Robinson Award winner, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's been discussed more and more the last couple weeks nationally. He came over from Utah. He was a coordinator under Whittingham. And, he had been at Eastern Washington 3-4 years ago as a coordinator. So he knows the FCS. He's coached a lot of winners. It's amazing what Kevin Thompson's doing at quarterback. It's just turned into such a winner. This program, this program was like 2-8 or 2-9 last year. I think they had a game canceled. They only won 2 games last year. It's incredible what's happened with the same roster effect. So pretty impressive.
Well, we look for things to sort themselves out a little more this weekend. Of course, follow Brian and the crew from Hero Sports for great information as always. Brian, awesome to talk with you as always. Enjoy the games, and we'll check in next Thursday.
That sounds great, Rich. Thank you so much, sir.
That's Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports, talking FCS football every Thursday right here on Downtown